Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, it was the theologian J.I. Packer who once said that in our society, dying has become the sex of the 19th century. It's the great unmentionable. Now, why is that? According to author Rob Mole, for Christians in most times and places, and probably people of all different faiths and maybe even no faith, death has been a pretty routine part of life. But during the last century, something has changed. We've moved into denial and completely removed death from our homes and our daily lives. He's written a new book called The Art of Dying, and in it he argues that we need to reacquaint ourselves with death, prepare for it, and make space for it in our lives, and also for the space of just simply doing the hard, exhausting, sad work of mourning. Rob Mole's on the line and with us now. Welcome to Open House, Rob.
Well, thank you for having me.
What's happened in the last century? Why have we had this change of focus with death so that J.R. Packer's absolutely right? It has become the new unmentionable.
It's amazing when I talk to people who are honestly afraid to express that they've lost a loved one. They're afraid to tell other people because it's an imposition that people honestly find offensive. And when you look back over the last century, you can see kind of why this has happened, and that is that dying used to be something that happened in the home. We would grow up and see our grandparents die. We'd grow up some more and watch our parents die. And so we would have had experience with this sort of throughout our lives. That's just no longer the case. When people get elderly, they move away, or young people move away from home. When elderly people need help living, we sort of put them in institutions. So nowadays, at least I know here in the States, roughly 80% of people die in some sort of institutional setting. And so death is just sort of out, just not, present in people's lives. We can really trace back that sort of medicalization of death, the move from it being a family and often a religious issue toward being sort of a medical professional issue.
Yes. Yeah, that's fascinating. We've actually moved it out of the home. What got you interested in the topic in the first place, Rob? You're a journalist. You've written other books before. Why this topic?
Well, for me, it was honestly my first experience with death, and I realized how I was just absolutely not equipped to handle being with someone on her deathbed. And in my case, it was my great aunt. She was dying of breast cancer. And a hospice organization had come into her house. She had a hospital bed that she was lying on. And I went to visit her twice in the weeks before she died. It was a situation that I was totally unprepared to deal with. And I left thinking, well, not only thinking, how soon can I leave this situation without it being inappropriate, which I just felt horrible for thinking. But because of that feeling, I also sensed that this is something that, for my own, this isn't the last time I was going to face a situation like this, and I needed to kind of figure out how to handle it.
Did you, in your research, did you find just what's happened culturally, and I'm talking the Western culture here, both of our countries, that precipitated that move from people, the elderly staying within the home and then dying within the home, to then moving into a quote-unquote professional setting?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of, there are obviously a lot of changes sort of at the end, in the 18th century, 19th century, and then the 20th century. For us here in the U.S., I don't know if you're familiar with the Civil War that we fought over slavery. Mm. We had 500,000 people die in this country as we were fighting ourselves. And that absolutely destroyed the typical rituals around death, because 500,000 people died away from home on a battlefield or, in sickness and camps or things like that. There was a typical ritual, and this was common in the U.S. and in England, and that was that the family members were around, people said their final words, people expressed hope and faith in God. They actually often tried to narrate their sort of entrance into heaven. And, these stories were told over and over again in, secular newspapers, religious periodicals. And so the changes here in the U.S. began there in the Civil War. And then they continued the turn of the century. People figured out that disease was spread by germs and that you could limit disease through public health measures by having, sewage, treating your sewage and things like that. So rather than disease being something sort of that God sent or that came because of sin, which was often, just sort of the typical view that this is just sort of divine intervention in human affairs when somebody dies, or it became a medical situation. You treated death by treating the water. With industrialization, people move into the cities, and then, public health becomes an issue, and this is how we deal with death. Yes. And then as science and medicine began to make great strides in, treating cancer, treating diseases, you can actually see the leading causes of death, around the turn of the century are things like cholera and typhoid fever and things like this, the influenza. And then as public health sort of takes over, and then the leading causes of death move to things like dementia and heart disease and cancer and things like that, diseases of old age, essentially. And those became treatable only with, professional medical help. And, of course, medicine is often terrific at dealing with these things, but it has taken away the sense that there is something greater going on here, something more spiritual happening when people are dying.
Yes. This is Open House right across the nation. Rob Moll is the author of The Art of Dying. We're talking about that tonight, the great unmentionable, really, today, isn't it? Death. If you've got something to throw into the conversation, I'd love to hear it. 1-300-40-2020. This notion of death now coming to be perceived as a medical event rather than a spiritual one. What do you think we have lost as a result of that being the case today?
Death is really a spiritual occurrence. I don't know anyone who has been around someone at their deathbed who did not feel a profound spiritual sense. There is something really going on there, spiritually speaking, and because we have removed ourselves from that, we don't get to experience that. I know a lot of people who have sort of said, why on earth would you want to think about something so morbid for so long, as long as it takes to write a book? But people who spend time, I'm a hospice volunteer, so I've spent a couple of years now with people at the end of their life, visiting them at the end and until their death. We have really lost what is going on there spiritually. It's amazing to see that people are very much alive even as their bodies die. You hear stories of people who sort of control the timing of their death. They wait until sort of news arrives. My wife's grandmother just died a couple hours before her great granddaughter had been born. And she had family with her, and they were all convinced that sort of receiving this news gave her the freedom to go on. The Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about what's going on there, and it's hard to say anything too concrete, there is a sense of divine activity there.
Now, Rob, in the book, you talk about this this phrase, the good death. Can you just describe what you mean by having a good death?
Well, first of all, I don't want to say that death is good.
Yeah.
When you lose a loved one, when you experience the grief of loss, that's not a good thing. And often death is painful. The disease is ravaging, and it's not necessarily a good thing, but it can be done in a good way, and in a way that makes people feel that something meaningful, purposeful, and important happens. So a death that involves, the involvement of family, a death that involves as much as possible the awareness of the person who is dying, a death that involves time for spiritual preparation for the person who is dying. There was a tradition in England and the U.S., they called it the happy death even, the beautiful death. When people die this way, it can provide survivors, it can provide family and loved ones a real sense that something important has happened, that something meaningful has happened, even something beautiful. It's hard to explain exactly how that is unless you've participated in it.
Yes, and again, that's the point, isn't it, participating. You suggest that Christians in the United States have become so pro-life, they're becoming anti-death. I think you need to also explain that too.
It was amazing to me. I went to this conference hosted at a church, brought people in from all over the country, and it was about end of life issues. I walked into the church building. It was a pretty large church that had a large lobby area. There are lots of people, kind of vendors, you know, with bulletin boards and presentations and things like that. And every single one of them was a, you know, pro-life or anti-abortion group. And I thought, well, this is odd. We're not talking about the beginning of life. We're talking about the end of life. Mm. I know in the U.S., what a lot of people have done was taken their commitment to the sanctity of life, that life is sacred and that should always be protected and defended, which is an absolutely wonderful thing. But it's not necessarily appropriate when disease has already all but taken somebody's life. When life is being completed rather than begun, being pro-life does not mean that we need to use all medical means to keep somebody alive. It doesn't mean that we need to beg doctors to do everything they can to prevent someone from dying. It's okay to allow death to occur because, you know, obviously it will occur.
Yes. That really has a lot to say then when it comes to those people that are now living in some form of vegetative state because they've been revived and now they're on life support. I guess when you take it to that degree. Now, of course, you know, there'll be a wide variety of people listening to us, and I've got no idea what their situation is. Of course, when you're faced with the loss of a loved one, you want to keep them, but there is a time where, like you said, there is a time to go.
Right. It's appropriate to fight to keep somebody alive. It's appropriate to want to live. This is, you know, natural to us, and it's God given, this desire for life. However, when we can't realize that, when we refuse to realize that perhaps God is calling us home, that perhaps God has said, now it's time for you to be with me, it takes some spiritual maturity, it takes some, you know, just personal maturity to be able to say, okay, you know, my time is up, and to stop fighting.
Yeah, this is Open House. Rob Moll is our guest, a journalist and author of The Art of Dying. We're talking about death tonight, 1-300-40-2020, if you've got something you'd like to put into the conversation. I'd love to hear from you. All right, Rob, well, you've done a lot of research on this, and like you said before, you are a volunteer a hospice worker. You're kind of spending your spare time, your spare hours, making hours to be with those who are facing their last moments of life. Talk about some of the lessons you've learned through that experience and also through writing the book about how we can walk through that good death with our family, with our loved ones, with our friends and with our colleagues. And then finally, when it comes to our time, you know, we can also experience the good death, and particularly the role of the Christian church here too, how they can minister to those who are dying.
You know, I went away from my aunt's, from visiting my great aunt on her deathbed, and I felt like a failure. And every time I talked to somebody, they said, no, you didn't fail, you were there. Mm. And it's true that the most important thing is to be there. You may feel awkward, you may feel that you have nothing, you can bring nothing to the table, you may feel just totally inadequate to the situation as I did. But to be there and to be present is the most important thing that you can do. Mm. There's no such thing as a good death that is a solitary death. A good death, and that doesn't mean the person, you know, the last moments aren't alone. Sometimes that's just the case. But toward the end of life, it is so important that a dying person is with and around their loved ones, around their family. You know, I also spent a year working in a funeral home. A good death involves a group of people. It's a community event because we're all experiencing this loss. And when someone is dying, someone who has meant something to all of us, we're all going to be grieving that. So The most important thing is that death is yeah. is a community
thing. Is a community event too. Yeah. You also talk about the importance of actually talking about death with those who are dying. Just tell me, why is that important? And if you've got any tips on how to do that, I mean, like we've talked about before, this is the unmentionable topic.
Right. Well, you know, here in the U.S., we've had a couple of instances where people have been, you know, put on life support, and there's sort of family disputes over whether or not it should be removed. So the solution, we have these documents that you can sign and say, you know, under this situation, you know, remove life support, or under this situation, or under any situation, do not remove life support. And so you can sign this and give this to your doctor, and it's sort of this like legal document that that hospitals will abide by. But I think that's really incomplete because, again, it's a family issue, it's a community issue, and this is something that we're all dealing with. And the most important thing is that as we're choosing medical care, you know, do we do this treatment? Do we stop this treatment? Do we go as aggressive as possible, or do we do something that's sort of middle of the road? That this is something that the whole family understands, the whole family agrees with, the whole family sort of knows where what the dying person's wishes are, and understands most importantly what their values are at the end of life, so that medical care can be chosen that coincides with those values, mm-hmm. and that allows somebody who, say, wants to be with family at the end of their life to sort of go home and be with family instead of being hooked up to machines in the ICU.
Yeah, you'd want to be picking your timing pretty right there, though. You don't want to start talking about death for somebody who really is going to recover. So, I mean, you've got to make sure that this is definitely, you know, we're heading towards the drawing of the curtain.
I honestly would disagree with you.
Is that right?
If that's all right.
Yeah, sure.
I've had this discussion with my wife. In my 30s. I think it's something that we need to be talking about throughout our lives. Mm. There's no, just because most people die in their old age doesn't mean that I will. And again, it's going to be really hard to have that conversation with somebody who's in the hospital and you want to bring it up for the first time. What do we do if you're on life support?
What about the person who's just had an accident, though, and, you know, you're meeting them in hospital and stuff like that? I'm just trying to think about, you know, what are the parameters around this? Because you've converted me, and I think we should be talking about death the whole way through. I'm just thinking about the right time when there's some sort of incident at hand.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why I've had a conversation about it with my wife. I mean, obviously, I could have a heart attack tomorrow, but more likely, if I were going to be seriously ill in the hospital, it would be because of some sort of accident. If you haven't had that conversation, you end up in the hospital with somebody who is in, you know, a grave situation. Yeah, I think, you know, family members would be more likely to have an understanding of what this person's wishes are and how they would want to be, yes. how they would want to be treated.
I'd love people's comments on that. 1-300-40-2020. What do you think about Rob's idea that we need to be talking about death way, way earlier than we actually are, all the time, just to get ready for this, so we actually have a certain sense of family consensus as to what's going to happen should one of us actually finally pass away, maybe even before our days were foreseen to end. 1-300-40-2020. I'd love to hear your thoughts. 1-300-40-2020. Rob Moll is our guest on Open House. We're talking about the art of dying. The other thing that has to be raised with all of this, Rob, is, as we were talking about before, death is not just simply a medical thing, it's a spiritual thing. And if there is a life after this life, and if there is a God, and if there the Bible's thoughts about us going to meet that God once we do actually die, if all of that is actually true, there's also the issue to talk about in terms of preparing to meet your Maker. You know, this aspect of judgment, and that can actually be a positive thing as well as a negative thing. I wonder sometimes if that's actually part of the reason why we've kind of put the word death aside a little bit, because, I mean, that's a bit of a heavy topic to explore as well.
You know, I agree with you. I think it goes back to what we were talking about in regards to sort of talking about your end-of-life wishes. On the one hand, it's good to talk about my end-of-life wishes in case something happens. I end up in the hospital and my wife needs to decide, you know, what treatment to pursue, and I'm unconscious. That's important. On the other hand, it's important to do because it puts us in the right frame of mind, realizing that our lives are going to end, realizing that we have, you know, a short span of time here on Earth. If what's important to me at the end of my life is not important to me throughout my life, it's going to be a difficult route to sort of change my path once I'm like, okay, I'm 85 years old and the end is coming. So preparing spiritually, preparing sort of for the medical situations at the end of life is also helping us to prepare spiritually throughout life. We don't prepare for eternity in the moments before our death. Mm. We prepare for eternity throughout our lives. Mm. We live lives with eternity in view. So spiritual preparation doesn't begin, when someone is in the middle of the dying process. When we're living spiritual lives, we're preparing ourselves to die well.
Yes. And also we have to talk about resurrection here too, this Christian understanding that those who, who have opted in to the deal, to the Christian deal that Jesus will look after everything that you needed to have looked after so that you can have that eternal life. That idea of resurrection, that this life is not the end anyway. We're not just simply kind of passing on into somebody's memories or, just becoming worm food, as it's been called before. That there is a brand new, complete life that's actually going to have some sort of bodily resurrection a part of that. That completely changes the way we approach death too.
It does. There's this, I wish I had said it myself, but I'm going to quote another author here who said that Jesus didn't resurrect the idea of himself. He suffered actual, literal death on the cross and then raised literally with his body to life again. And Christians, as almost ridiculous and crazy as it sounds, this is what we believe, that in the last day Jesus will come again. We will rise bodily from the grave, and that in the life to come, we will have actual bodies. I think this is really important. First, it makes our physical bodies today even more important. We're not going to sort of resurrect to this sort of ethereal, spiritual, sort of ghostly world. Mm. We're resurrecting to real life, to a resurrection life that sort of began with Christ's resurrection. It makes a difference today. I think that's important. Bodies matter.
Well, Rob, been very important to talk to you about what we've talked about before has been kind of almost the unmentionable topic of death. Thanks for joining us on Open House tonight.
Thank you for having me. It's been a thrill.
Yeah, Rob Mole, a journalist and the author of The Art of Dying, Living Fully into the Life to Come.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.